Well, good morning. Thank you for allowing us to be with you all this morning. It really is a pleasure to be here, and we enjoy being able to travel and just be in other churches and meet the folks that are there, especially those of you who have been in the military. I know one, Topson Blue, over here. I don't know if there's any other veterans, people who may know somebody in the military or have a family member in the military there. But we get to hear military stories quite often, and that's really, really a blessing with the ministry that we are going into. As Pastor mentioned, we'll be talking about that a little bit more this evening. And this morning, I just wanted to share a little bit about, I guess, my testimony, my personal salvation testimony, and a little bit of our background, and a little bit of Carrie's as well, and just give you all a chance to get to know us a little bit. I'd like to just start with a couple verses here, pretty familiar with all of you, I'm sure, about Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And I'll go ahead and just read those here this morning. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Very good advice for the young and the old alike. And I'm sure like many of you, I was, of course, born at a young age, and I hope you don't hold that against me. And I was also born and raised in New York, so a Yankee by birth. But I have a wife from the South, so she keeps me straight on things down here from the time as that's needed. She grew up in the Augusta, Georgia area. I guess growing up in New York, I had the privilege of being raised in a Christian family. My dad is a pastor there in New York today. And the church we were currently going to at the time when I got saved was actually being pastored by my grandfather. And I grew up hearing the gospel and knowing the gospel story, but being, I guess, maybe so exposed to it, it really didn't have maybe the impact and meaning and depth in my heart that it should have just being exposed to it over and over again. I guess you could say my heart grew a little bit hard to that. But when I was about 9, 10 years old, I just remember walking into the church one day, and my grandparents came up to me, and they gave me this big old hug, and they said, "Congratulations, we heard that you got saved." I was like, "Oh, well, thank you for the hug," but I was thinking, I don't remember getting saved. And my mom said, "Well, a teacher at the Christian school led you in a prayer this past week." And I was thinking, I don't remember that at all. Is that really a strong salvation testimony? Even at 9 years old, I didn't think that it was, But through that experience, the Lord just began convicting me and said in my heart, you need to get saved not because your grandparents think you're saved, not because your parents think you are saved, not because someone led you in a prayer that you can't remember, but you need to get saved because you know what? You're a sinner, and you need Christ in your life, and you need a Redeemer for you. And at that young age, I recognized that, and I remember just finding a quiet spot in the church by a sunlit window and just praying a very, very simple prayer to the Lord, and he saved me that Sunday. And for a little while, I was a little bit embarrassed to tell people, that, well, actually, I got saved today and not, when you thought I did. But eventually, I realized that was the right thing to do, is tell people, this is my salvation testimony. So I would encourage you, if you don't remember your salvation testimony, if you have maybe questions about when you got saved, double check on that. Can't hurt at all to be sure of that. Well, Carrie, my wife, she was saved at a fairly young age in her family devotions. And one of the things that she often says when she shares her testimony is since having children of her own, she realizes what a tremendous accomplishment that really is for parents to be able to train their children and get them saved at a young age. That's something that I guess we used to maybe take for granted. Well, of course, our kids are going to be raised in a Christian home, of course they're going to be saved at a young age, but that's not always true. That's really something that parents have to strive to work at. That's something that we're working at, and we find that it doesn't come that easily as maybe we had thought it had, especially when you realize the fact that, you know, your cute little kids are sinners just as much as you are, and working through those whole set of new experiences with that. So she was saved in family devotions by her mom when she was fairly young, I believe around 5 or 6 years old. And as she grew up, she began to have, I guess, just some doubts about her salvation, especially into her teenage years. And she was, I guess, maybe really struggling with that off and on. You know, did I really get saved? Was I sincere enough? And then several years later, when she was teaching elementary age kids English in South Korea, a teacher made a comment to her, you know, just like kids develop and grow and their understanding grows, that's how it is with your salvation. You don't necessarily understand everything that takes place when you come to Christ at a young age, but as your understanding grows, you develop a broader depth and understanding of what that salvation actually looks like. And so she believes that, she believes that she was saved when she was, you know, 5 and 6 years old there during family devotions. And no, she didn't lose her salvation or anything like that. But those doubts are just kind of like the natural process of you growing and developing and further understanding that salvation and that working of the Holy Spirit as you grow, your understanding grows. And sometimes those bring about questions, and those things aren't to be shunned, but rather you can investigate those things and look into them and see indeed how the Lord has really indeed saved you. So for me, after I was saved, I really didn't know what to do with my life. And maybe some of you younger folks, I'll look over here because you're over there. but maybe some of you younger folks don't really know what am I supposed to do with my life. Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not onto thine own understanding. Sometimes it's good to take some advice from some people who have been where you are. One day we had a traveling evangelist by the name of David Berkler, who's long since been with the Lord. He came to our church and he was known for preaching on prophecy. And I had always enjoyed hearing him preach when he came up to our church there in New York. One of the things he said, I guess I felt like he said it to me because I was one of the young people there. He's like, if you don't know what you want to do in life, then you should consider going to Bible college. So it's like, well, that's me. I don't know what I want to do in life, so I guess that's what I'll do. So I went to a one-year Bible school, actually out west in the middle of Montana. Well, why Montana? I grew up reading too many Western stories and fell in love with the West, and I wanted to go see where all the cowboys rode and all that kind of stuff. So I went out west, spent a couple years out in Montana, went to a one-year Bible school out there, and I came back home, back to New York, thinking, boy, I really love the West, but I still don't know what I want to do with my life. I did, you know, 1 year of Bible school. And at that point, I hadn't quite got on board with God's plan for my life, and so I decided, you know, I really like being outside. I'll go into forestry. So I started studying forestry. I went to a couple different forestry schools. I went back to Montana, ended up at the University of Montana there to study forestry. And then when I graduated, I got an entry-level job in a somewhat forestry-related career field at a cabinet shop, right? Everybody wants to be a forest ranger or something like that, but ended up at a cabinet shop. And it's like, well, not exactly what I hoped for, but it's a start in the right direction. I'm working with a forest product, right? It's kind of that general realm. And then God just kind of slammed the door on that opportunity. And about, I think, 2 weeks later, the manager came to me and said, well, I just hired somebody who actually has a degree in furniture building, and I can't keep both of you, so see you later. I was like, oh, okay. So I ended up back in New York, moving back in with my parents, which was something I did not want to do. And I'm like, this isn't good, right? I went to school. I have all these student loans. I can't pay for any of this stuff. I need a job. And it's like, I guess I'll look at the military. Like, I've always kind of been military-minded looking at that, although I'm the only one in my family that is in the military. So I started looking at all the branches. I looked at the Air Force, looked at the Army, I looked at the Navy, looked at the Marines. We went to my mom actually took me to the Army recruiter's office, and a new Army recruit kind of walked in and sat down, and she was pretty gruff in her personality and character, and my mom and I kind of walked out of there thinking, you know, I don't think I want to join the Army. So we talked to the Marines as well, and I decided I don't think I want to join the Marines, and I don't like swimming, so the Navy's out. I should have probably looked at the Coast Guard, but, you know, it's more water involved there too. So I ended up going to the Air Force recruiter, and was thinking, you know, this sounds right. I think I'll join the Air Force, and so that's what I did. And I found out later, of course, the Air Force is the best branch, so that worked out really, really well. I like to remind the Army guys of that in particular. Sometimes they argue with me afterwards, but that's all right. So I joined the Air Force, and I wanted to do like something, you know, spectacular in the Air Force. So I signed up for the Battlefield Airman Career Tactical Air Control Party. So what those guys do is they actually go and work with the Army, and they help coordinate airstrikes and that kind of stuff. And I was thinking, well, if I'm going to be in the Air Force, I want to do, you know, something in the action in the middle of all that kind of stuff. And again, God closed the door on that career through an injury. He had me reclassed into a different career field. And I was thinking, you know, I don't know that I like working with you, Lord. You keep closing the door on the things that I want to do. This isn't exactly how I envisioned my life working out, you know. And I ended up in a career field called emergency management in the Air Force. And what that career field does is they're kind of like the military version of FEMA. So they kind of help coordinate emergency functions. As an emergency incident grows in size, they help coordinate the different resources and the different avenues of support that come in for that. And another big part of that job is really teaching. And I was thinking, when am I ever going to use this skill of teaching, all right? And that's basically all I did for probably the first 3 years of my active duty career, was just teach people how to put on a gas mask, how to put on their chemical warfare suit. And, of course, they love being in those hot rubber masks in the middle of July, you know, in super humid conditions over there in New Jersey by the coast. We were not the most favorite people over there. And, you know, I had also thought, I'll be able to travel with the Air Force, and they sent me to New Jersey 3 hours from my house. So that was another thing. I was like, Lord, I don't know about this. I don't know where you're taking me with this whole process, right? So I decided I didn't like New Jersey at all, not even in the least. And I started applying for every assignment that I could to get out of there. And God, in his wisdom, providentially said, oh, you don't like New Jersey. I have a place where you can go. You can go to Kunsan, South Korea. I was like, oh, Kunsan, South Korea, where is that? And everybody was kind of like, oh, yeah, good luck with that. I was like, what is up with Kunsan, South Korea? And I found out that it's kind of an assignment that nobody in the Air Force really wanted to do, at least not then. It's maybe improved a little bit since then. But Kunsan, South Korea is home of the 8th Fighter Squadron. It is a non-command sponsored base, which means your dependents can't go there, right? So it's basically a deployment. You're there by yourself, and it's a one-year tour. You're not getting out of it any earlier than that. If you decide to stay for a second year, you can get like maybe an extra couple thousand dollars, but most people didn't want to do that. The thing that Kunsan was maybe good for is a stepping stone to your next assignment, right? It's like, well, I guess this is where I'm going. You know, the Lord's got me going here to Kunsan Air Force Base. And so I arrived in Kunsan Air Force Base, South Korea. The climate is fairly similar to here. It gets pretty hot and humid in the summertime, but it gets really cold and humid in the wintertime, and they get snow, and thinking, you know, I don't know about this Kunsan, South Korea assignment. And at that time, I started attending Haven Baptist Church. So Haven Baptist Church is located outside the gate of Kunsan Air Force Base. It is the only English-speaking independent Baptist church in the city of Kunsan. So I started just attending that church, and that's really when the Lord began to grow me as well as place on our hearts the burden for military ministry. That's also where I met Carrie. She was over in Korea before me. She had been there, I think, about 12 years total, teaching English in a local Christian school there. So she had gone to Pensacola Christian College, and after she graduated, she was recruited by a gentleman named Mr. Swanson to go teach English to elementary-age Korean students over in South Korea at what they call Hagwon, or basically kind of like a after-school school, which is what pretty much all Korean kids do. They go to school basically year-round. They don't really have summer vacation. Education is like a super high priority for them. And so she had been over there, and she recently just helped finish up with a church plant. She had partnered there with another missionary couple that had done a church plant in Iksan, South Korea, and they had just turned that over to a national pastor. And so she started coming to Haven Baptist Church, where she could get reacquainted with her first language, the English language, a little bit there. And that's where we ended up meeting. And I guess since then, of course, we've gotten married, and God called us into full-time ministry, specifically back to Kunsan, South Korea. And so I used my GI Bill to go to Ambassador, which some of you are familiar with, and now we're on the dusty deputation trail. So I want to leave, I guess, a little bit of that story unsaid and share that, I guess, with you all this evening when I talk about our ministry and what we'll be doing specifically in Kunsan, South Korea. But just, I guess, over the years, one of the things that I've always really just thought about is, you know, you can really trust the Lord. And when you do that, he just makes things work out, you know. Maybe not always necessarily according to the way you think they should work out, but they're definitely better the way that he works them out. And that has always been a blessing. Proverbs 3:5-6 here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's one of the hard things for me, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Make sure all your trust is in him. One of the things that I like to do is see well in advance how all the puzzle pieces are going to fit together. And if I can't see it, it's hard for me to believe that it's going to work out right, because I have to believe, or I tend to believe, that I have to be the one to make it work, right? But that's not how God plans things out. He's the one that makes it work. One of those things to think about. And then, lean not unto thine own understanding. Again, that's one of those areas that I struggle with. It's like, I need to make this decision. Here's the information. And according to my understanding, this is the right answer. This is the right solution to such and such a problem. But the verse says, no, you need to trust in the Lord. And sometimes there are those decisions that come along that you just kind of wonder, is this the right decision? You know, joining the Air Force for me was the right decision. One of the things that the Lord did in my joining the Air Force is that he paid off all of my student debt. When I signed up, they said, hey, you're eligible for a student loan repayment program. And so I was like, that's great. So they paid off that debt. So that was one benefit from God directing me into the Air Force. Another benefit is that I received some additional education while I was in the Air Force for my career field. And that was, you know, just in doing my everyday job, it came along with doing my everyday job, those additional credentials for that job. Another benefit, again related to education with the military there, is that I got that benefit of the GI Bill, which I ended up being able to use later at Ambassador. So all of those things there were benefits, I guess, to God developing me personally as far as education goes, and then just some of that experience dealing with people, being able to teach those CBURN classes, just that chemical, biological, nuclear classes there, and preparing people for, I guess, what they might encounter on a chemically laced battlefield, if you would. It's just one of those areas which, yes, God was able to develop a little bit of my speaking ability and teaching ability. So now I look back on those times and I'm grateful for them, although I certainly didn't enjoy going through all of them at the moment, at the time. Verse 6 here, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Again, another challenge from this verse this morning. Challenge there is that if you expect the Lord to direct your paths, right, you have to be acknowledging him in all thy ways. There's kind of that preparatory statute there that you can't really expect the Lord to direct your ways if you're not following him, right? It doesn't really work that way. We have to be first giving ourselves over unto him and acknowledging him in all of our ways, in the little things. And that was one of the things, I guess, through my story, that was also difficult for me to do. One of the challenges of being in the military was finding a church to go to. As you move from base to base, the traveling that's involved with it, you know, going on temporary duty assignments to other bases, and how all of that works. And when I was at McGuire Air Force Base there in New Jersey, I had a really hard time, I guess, feeling like I fit into a church. I didn't like the military churches. Just the way they operate is a little bit different. I'm very grateful for the chaplaincy program, but the way that the military, the government works, is they have to put all denominations under just a couple broad headings. So Baptist falls under the realm of a Protestant, and especially in the deployed location, you're not guaranteed to get, you know, a Baptist chaplain. You're going to get a Protestant chaplain who might be Baptist. He might not be. So you're not necessarily guaranteed a chaplain that's going to know and preach a gospel message in a military church service all the time. And so I had actually gone to two different churches in New Jersey. One church I went to regularly, but they didn't have a Wednesday night meeting at all. That pastor was bivocational. He just didn't have the time to do a Wednesday night service. So I went to a second church for their Wednesday night meeting, and just being in church helped me tremendously, although I was still kind of struggling at the time with my commitment to church. And one of the reasons why I had that struggle was just growing up, I guess, in a pastor's family, seeing the struggles that my grandfather and my dad went through as a pastor was a little bit hard to watch. And sometimes, you know, I would think, I don't want to go into ministry because I don't want to have to experience that same type of lifestyle and those same types of struggles. Again, what's the verse stay here? You have to acknowledge him in all your ways, right? And in all your ways includes trusting him, even though you might not feel like the direction you're going in is the right direction, even though direction that he might call you to go in looks a whole lot harder and looks a whole lot less thrilling or even fulfilling than you think it should be or you think it might be. But, of course, we know that the Lord is always true to keep his word, and he will direct your paths as you acknowledge him in all of your ways. Tremendous promise there. Maybe one story I will share with you about how the Lord has, I guess, directed our paths recently in the couple minutes we have left is about Carrie's visa. So Since Carrie spent so much time in South Korea, her employer there was able to get her an F5 visa. So that is basically a permanent residency visa, which will cover myself and our children. And it's a very difficult visa to get, and there's basically no stipulations on the visa. So no work stipulations. It's not a military visa. It's basically a permanent residence visa, just maybe a step below being a full citizen. The only requirement that she has is that every 2 years we have to go back to South Korea, and she just has to, you know, register with immigration to keep that visa active. And our last few years here in the States, I think going on 8 years now in the States since we moved back from South Korea, the Lord has allowed us to travel back every 2 years to keep that visa. Well, 1 year that we needed to go back was in the middle of COVID, right? So you can imagine that had its whole own set of challenges. And it was really interesting just seeing how the Lord directed our paths through that whole situation. So we recognized the fact that Carrie's visa was getting ready to expire, and we needed to get there really, really soon. First of all, we didn't have the money, right, to go. And I think we had one supporting church at the time, and we got a surprise check that covered the ticket cost, like almost to the dollar, within like $50 of what it cost. And that was pretty amazing. We've been there several times, so I might get some of these times mixed up. But that particular trip, the COVID trip there, of course, we needed to get COVID tested before we could even board the plane. So we got the tickets, and we had to, you know, make that investment before we got COVID tested. And so then we're just hoping that we both get negative COVID tests. So we went to the COVID testing facility and got our COVID tests, and then mine actually came back positive the next day. And I was like on the phone with my pastor, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, mine's pop positive. How is this going to work? We're supposed to fly out like tomorrow. And pastor says, well, first of all, you just need to calm down. I was like, okay, I can try to do that and calm down. I was like, and they said, I find it pretty hard to believe that you're not going to South Korea because I really feel like the Lord is working in this. It's like, okay, we'll see what happens. And so Carrie, my wife, she called the testing facility. She's like, hey, I just wanted to, like, you know, double check the results here. And they're like, oh, we're sorry, we made a mistake. He's actually negative. I was like, oh, that's kind of a big mistake, but thank you, you know. So we were thankful for that, like, first hurdle crossed, right? So we get to the airport, and that's when we realized that we had more mistakes. These were my fault. So I had booked our tickets, Carrie's ticket in particular, under her married name and not her maiden name. And her passport was in her maiden name, right? Her visa was in her maiden name. So that wasn't good. And we got to the ticket counter, and the lady at the check-in counter was like, well, I really shouldn't even let you board this plane, but I'll let you board it anyway, even though these don't match. And maybe you can get this fixed at your layover in Chicago. And so it's like, okay, at least we can get through security and get on a plane, right? So we made it to Chicago, and then we hear our names called over the loudspeaker, you know, you need to come to the immigration desk right now. We're like, uh-oh. And we get there, and the lady's like, I can't let you board the flight to Korea. Your ticket doesn't match the name on your passport. And by the way, your COVID test results don't match the name that's on your passport either. You're going to have to leave security and get new COVID tests and then come back in through security and get your ticket changed before you can, you know, get on a plane in Chicago, right? Thankfully, we had a long layover, but we're like, oh no, how is this going to work? And so Carrie's like, I have an idea. I'll call that COVID testing place again. And so she called the COVID testing place, and she's like, is there any way you could maybe change the name on our COVID test results? And they were like, sure. And they sent it right over, and was like, oh, well, thank you. That's not sketchy at all, but thank you. You know? So we got that one knocked out without even having to leave security, which was a tremendous blessing. And then we were also able to find somebody who was able to get her ticket changed. So that was a blessing as well. And I don't know if this was the time we were traveling. I think we were also traveling with Henry. I think he was about 1 year old. And so it was miraculous that we got his passport even in time as well. He didn't need a COVID test result. But still, you know, we had a passport for him and all that kind of stuff. So we were able to get on the second plane and finally land in Korea. And once you land in Korea there, they made you do another COVID test. And so thankfully, those also came back negative. But one of the things that we were going to have to do is quarantine somewhere in South Korea. And we had no place to do that. Well, right before we had left for Korea, one of Carrie's close coworkers messaged her on Facebook and said, hey, I heard you're coming to visit. By the way, if you need a place to quarantine, we'll come and pick you up from the airport. We're like, oh, perfect, you know. So they even had gotten a car seat and some toys and things for Henry. And came, picked us up from the airport, and took us and basically housed us for 2 weeks in their home and provided all of the food and everything for us. And we didn't know it until later, but they actually gave up their master bedroom, and their family of four was staying all in one little bedroom at the other end of the apartment there. So that was really, you know, a tremendous blessing for us to be able to get there. Another part of that trip that God had worked out was we arrived in Korea one day before Carrie's visa expired. So that was just amazing, the timing of it. Not only did we arrive there one day before it expired, but we arrived late enough that the changes from every 2 years, which have been changed to you have to come back every 1 year, had just reversed it back to every 2 years again. So we got there just late enough to fit that window as well. So all these little details that, you know, God just kind of lined them all up as we prepared to get over there. And then, of course, we needed to travel back to the U.S. We had to get more COVID tests before we could even get on a plane and travel back to the United States. And those came back negative as well. And we were able to get back to the United States, having accomplished another 2 years of Carrie's visa keeping. So that was one of those ways. You're like, this, there's no way that this would have worked, you know, apart from the Lord's intervention, getting tickets changed, getting, you know, COVID results changed, and all those kinds of things. And just that fact that we were able to go was pretty amazing. That particular time, we didn't get down to Haven Baptist Church to visit the folks that were there, but we did just have some good time of fellowship with the host family that put us up for those 2 weeks. Again, what's the verse say here? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And he certainly does. He's directed our paths in a variety of ways. That's just one of the many ways that he is guided and directed our paths, and he will direct yours as well. So I know we're maybe a couple of minutes early here, but I'll hand it over to Pastor, and look forward to bringing a message to you later this morning. Thank you.